This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, January 19th, 2016, episode 53. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, back by popular demand, Brian with an eye Aldridge.
Because who else would you have?
I'm not the popular demand, so it's got to be.
Well, yeah, I haven't been pushing my blog, but I've been pushing our website, because if you want to get involved with us in gaming, definitely check out infectionpodcast.com. On there, we have our link right to our Steam group on the upper right. We have our TeamSpeak information on there, and that's a great place to just jump in, see what we're playing right now. We have a lot of people playing ARK. We also have people playing 7 Days to Die, people playing Hurt World, just different CSGO.
People playing nothing.
It doesn't have to be.
People playing nothing.
We'll have a channel for you, Nick.
Okay. So you're gonna promote your blog?
Yeah, biteoftech.com. Of course, you can go there. On there, it has every form of social media that I'm on with a link, so you can
check
find
out all
me other places.
All the recent blog posts on here as well.
I know.
October 1st, 2014 is the third post.
I've been busy.
Brian, 53 weeks. This is officially the 1 year show. We did our first show on, it was like January, I think 18th or 17th. Of 2015. Yeah. I guess we can start off with a reflection. I'm surprised we're still here doing this. Most podcasts,
that we're still doing the podcast in general?
Yeah, most podcasts don't really make a lot of podcasts start and then kind of die off. That's a very common thing. And to do a year straight, a few shows on Mondays.
You still have some of the same people listening.
Yeah.
A year later.
Exactly. It's very, very odd, but we're here. We did the format change, but
I have podcasts that I listen to. Like, there'll be a game I'm interested in and they always seem to just die out. Like, something happens.
Well,
is the norm.
Like, here's the thing. We both set the time aside and it's the same time every week. So yeah. I think that's the problem. That's what I've fallen to in the past. When you've got a floating schedule, like I have for the Crummy Show, did release a new episode. If you want to check that out, crummyshow.com, total self promotion.
That's fine.
When there's a floating schedule, like sometimes we do the show on Thursday, sometimes we do it on Friday. Thursday, Friday comes, it's gone, and you're like, screw it, we'll do it next week. But Tuesday night, 7 PM every Tuesday, it's like you're
obligated to make sure you're there.
Exactly. And it's the same.
Well, and we don't let each other slip. Like,
no, you don't let me
slip. Oh, let's not do it tonight. Busy. We say, okay, well then we're going to do it this night instead.
We've done like 4 Monday shows. Maybe I was on vacation for one. You went out to dinner for one. I was at a concert for another and maybe one other one. It's 4 or 5 out of 53. So I'll take it. Yeah, we're a sellout. Next week is our corporate advertiser show, so we'll have all of the all the corporate advertisers.
Yeah, we have
all
of our sponsors next week.
Yeah, it's totally underwritten. Brian's gonna have a brand new car, brand new house. Same thing here. It's gonna be great. All from this podcast. But this is not the Reflection podcast. This is the Infection podcast, and we talk about the survival video games. Now, Brian, what have you been playing this week? Because I know you have been playing some stuff.
Yeah, so I've been playing ARK, of course.
Of course.
And we'll be talking about some of the new things that they released this week in ARK. And then I played some of a game that we gave out last week, How to Survive. Because I ended up going to a hockey tournament this weekend last minute. And so we were wanting to do a playthrough of How to Survive with some people. And just I didn't get back in town till late Saturday night, so it didn't come together. But I decided I wanted to talk a little bit about it today, so I played some How to Survive. And so I'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show, my thoughts on it. And that's a game we gave away. Landgun actually donated some copies that we gave away during the show last week. So a couple people out there have it. I know you got a copy.
Yeah. Are we Land scheduling?
Got a copy. I think Falcon has a... We'll have to set a day that we can actually do the multiplayer version of it, because I've been playing the single player mode.
Okay. I have yet to play the single player mode. I'll have to try that out. I was waiting for the multiplayer, but I can definitely...
That'd be a good way to kind of get started and figure out some of the controls and just about the game. And
I agree.
I'll talk about it, but it was surprisingly good.
Okay. Well, all right. Don't give us too much information. That's plenty enough. You should have said, like, I hope that they put that on their, like, you know, when you have like a trailer for a game and it's like Brian Aldridge.
Infection Podcast says surprisingly good.
Not that bad. Not really that bad.
Not as bad as I expected.
Exactly. Actually, there's a gaming site. I think it's Green Man Gaming, that they put any 5-star review on their website. And I saw a thing on Reddit last week, and it was like some guy just like put a 5-star rating and just trashed them. And somebody screenshotted it on their homepage, because any 5-star review automatically goes through. So this week, I don't think I played any survival games this week. I logged on Ark once, but I didn't play.
Did you do anything?
No, not really. I just logged in
and ran around.
I logged in and I said hello and then I left. I haven't played, but in my defense, I haven't played any video games. So just, I don't know, you know, just not in the mood to play anything.
And you were on a break for your school, right?
Yeah. Now that I'm back in school, today was my, the start of the semester.
Now you're antsy to play.
Yeah. Because now my time's more valuable. So like it sounds stupid, but I'm in a routine, so I'll make it happen. Don't worry. Well, I've been watching the weather. It's weather central here. We're ready to go.
You should tell them about the little gadget you're going to be getting.
I'll just wait till I get it.
Okay, then you'll show it off.
Yeah, I'll just have to make some loud noises and it'll go off. So we do have some Ark news, like Brian hinted at. There were 9 updates last week. It was 231.0 to 231.9 last week. So we had 9 updates in 1 week on Ark. Yeah. This week there's only 5 of them, I think. 4 or 5
Six.
Of them. 6 of them. 6 of them. 0 through 5.
I mean, they're slacking.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of content, especially in the first one. And you we talked before the show. You told me about a few of these things. So what are these new things that they've added in
232.1? All right. So 2.1. On 232. And this was on the 15th. So, I mean, this is only 4 days ago, right? They added the dung beetle.
This was Friday. So between Friday and now, they have done 6 updates.
Yeah. So they added the dung beetle. And you would say, well, why would I want a dung beetle? You feed the beetle dung. I mean, imagine that. And he will produce oil and fertilizer. So up until now, you would have to make a compost bin. And then you would put thatch in there and you would put the different dung from the different animals, or your, I guess, yourself if you wanted to, and then it would create fertilizer for you, and you had to have a number of them lined up just because it would, you know, to get a decent amount, you know, each one would create like 2 when it was filled to what it created would create 2 fertilizer. So now you go and tame this dung beetle, you let it roam in a room or something, and it will, as long as you keep dung in its inventory, be creating this oil, so you don't have to do trips to the ocean. So maybe if you are in an area that's not easily accessing the ocean, or you don't have some sort of a place to keep, like a dolphin or something, to go and easily get oil, this is a way to produce it. And to get these, they are a non-aggressive tame. So you don't knock them out and put things in our inventory. You have to sneak up to them with some sort of dung in your 0 slot, and then you press E, and it doesn't take that much to tame. Like a level 20-ish one, take you 15 minutes, I think.
Oh, that's like a nice quick tame.
Yeah. These things are in caves, though, usually. So if you go to a cave, maybe you can draw it out or get into a cave where there's nothing aggressive around you, and then tame one of these and then have them follow you back. You can also carry it back with a Quetzal or an Argentavis.
How big are they? Because they look, you think a dung beetle, you think of a small little thing.
They're a decent size. Okay. It's got to be 1.5 feet long.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to put in terms in a game. But yeah, so this you can bring back to your base and it will produce these for you. Now, the Dimetrodon is a new one they did as well. And it is a small version of a Spino. Like if you take a look at a Spino and you make it a lot smaller, this would be a Dimetrodon. And we haven't tamed, I haven't tamed one of these yet. But what I'm looking at with this is you capture them and it's in place of an AC unit. So, or it's a portable air conditioner slash heater.
Really?
So you can take this and keep it in a room or keep it in your building and it will keep the temperature even. Or let's say you're going to be taking a trip to somewhere that's really cold or really hot. You can take this with you. And as long as you're standing next to it, it will even out the temperature.
That's awesome.
In the same range as an air conditioner. So it's fan supposedly in the way that they're thinking this is that fan is kind of like a radiator and it makes the temperature or whatever even.
That's super freaking cool.
Yeah. And then beer barrels. They added beer barrels and beer. We have one in our base, but I don't think it's produced anything yet. So we'll see how all that works. But supposedly you're supposed to get drunk in the game. I don't know if it'll mess with your visual effects. I'm not sure of the bonus that you're going to get from beer. But it is some sort of a liquid. You make it with water, thatch, and berries in the beer barrel for 6 hours.
Damn.
So
that's like, it's like the fertilizer thing. Longer times, but it's kind of the same thing. You just put a bunch of stuff in.
Yeah. You mix those in there and then out will come beer. I'm not sure of the bonus though of drinking it.
That's, I think, one it's thing just I like seen yet. Swizzle was an H1Z1, which was just like, wasn't it just a stupid visual effect?
Like it didn't. Well, Swizzle would make it so you could run faster.
Yeah, run faster.
A little bit longer.
But
this, I'm not sure exactly what the benefit of the beer is as far as any kind of a health benefit or, you know, something. I haven't seen anywhere that they've actually talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it just refills your thirst and a little bit of hunger or something. I don't know. But we'll have to check that out. And since I haven't had a drink of it yet, I can't really tell you.
And it doesn't say what it does.
It doesn't say anywhere on their pages, so we'll have to try it out. Yeah, Green Man Cartoon says +5 attractiveness.
Yeah.
So, and then they have garbage collector performance. So this was a performance tweak that they did. Garbage collector performance improvements so that there would be less stalls in-game. And I have noticed that there are less of those. Oh, you know, where everybody yells lag in TeamSpeak.
Yeah.
That is happening less. They fixed the disappearing Quetzals, so I guess Quetzals were disappearing. They fixed a memory leak.
Oh, perfect. Disappearing Quetzals. That's a really big bug because those are very long tames.
Yeah, because Quetzals are a pain to tame. So if they disappear, you know, that is not like losing a Dilo.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So they fixed a remaining issue involving falling off your dinosaur or passing through dinosaurs. So pretty much when you jump off, you land on your dinosaur at the correct times and you don't fall through the dinosaur. Battle Tartare and Enduro Stew can no longer be stacked. So this was something that you could make as a recipe. You could cook it and it has a buff. They made the damage buff has been reduced to +60%. I'm not sure what it was before. And then the Enduro Stew damage buff was reduced to 35%. So they must have felt like those were overpowered. Maybe even with the changes that they've done with some of the dinosaurs and everything, they're trying to balance all that out. The large stored boxes have been increased to 2,400 health, and the number of item slots in those large boxes, so these are the ones that are tall, has been 45 slots. And then the smithy's health was increased to 1,500. So I think it was double that, if I remember correctly, about 3,000 health before. So that was the changes in 232.
Now,
and those were the main ones that they were trying to get out you kept having the hype for.
Now, they did another update on the same day, and this is 232.1, and this was a quick one. I like it when a game admits that there's an issue and gets it fixed promptly. That was an issue we always ran into H1Z1. There would be an issue, everybody would be reporting it, and it would take 4 or 5 days for it to get implemented. So on the same day as the beer barrel was introduced, you needed the beer barrel to learn the beer barrel. So you couldn't learn the
beer barrel. You couldn't ever learn the beer barrel.
It was a never-ending loop.
The requirement was messed up.
Exactly. So that was fixed on 232.1, and that was on January 15th. And then again on January 15th. So remember, this is all Friday. This is last Friday. So everybody's getting ready for the weekend, and they're pushing out patches. They set the beer crafting time to its intended speed of 6 hours, so it probably wasn't 6 hours before that.
I don't know what it was, but yeah,
60,
somehow they messed up.
6 minutes, 600 hours, I mean, something
whatever
like
it was,
that.
They set it correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we never got, when we crafted it, never worked.
Well, you couldn't have, well, yeah.
We put it in there.
But here's the thing, it was all on the same day, so
yeah.
By the time that they, I mean, looks like they fixed, they should add timestamps too.
Yeah.
So the fact that they do two or three
on
the same
being
day.
That they do, yeah, so many in a day, it's hard to know.
And then it also, the Dimetrodons were drowning in shallow swamp water.
And those hang around swamps, so yeah. You figured that they would be something that can handle a little bit of water.
So now they can. So that's 232.2.
And now 232.3, they enabled animation and garbage collection multi-threading on dedicated servers for significantly increased dedicated server performance. Because they had added things in there, but then I don't know if they didn't enable it yet, or they said, but they said with here, enabled animation and garbage collection multi-threading. So maybe they made it so it actually uses the multi-threading of the processor to where it does much better. But that was 232.3, and then they fixed a Metrodon eggs-creating Sarcos. So I guess when the Dimetrodon eggs would hatch, Sarcos were coming out instead of Dimetrodons.
That sounds like a copy-paste error.
I'm sure the father was surprised.
Yeah.
God. But I'm okay. Made berries have a much longer spoiling time in beer barrels, and maybe that's why we never. You know, if you look when this came out, because we had put all the stuff in there, we never got the beer out of it, but the berries were gone. So maybe because of this bug, we had made everything to make beer, but the berries were always. Expiring before the time that the beer could actually be created. So they made beer barrels not lose their stored items on server restart, which could get frustrating because, you know, let's say there's an update and it's a 6 hour time. Let's say you're at 5 hours and all of a sudden the server has to reboot for something. You would lose that progress. And then, so that is 232.3. 232.4, they did a quick little change, and it's Dimetrodons and Kairuku now insulate eggs.
What does that mean?
So,
I know what the word insulate means, but what does that mean
for eggs? The eggs, when you're getting ready to hatch them, you have to keep the temperature of the egg a certain thing for a period of time.
Yep.
So I think what they're saying is if you take these eggs around these animals, it will make it so that they're at the right temperature and they're able to hatch.
Yeah, which makes sense. So that's
and it's the same thing. The Kairukus are those penguins,
mm-hmm.
And those ones supposedly have similar features to where they will put out heat or whatever wherever they're at. So you can tame them, put them in your building, and they will be a form of temperature regulation, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, and then we had one final update for the week. And that was 232.5, and that just fixed a dedicated server memory leak, and that was
I always appreciate.
Yeah, and that was on the 17th, so that was on Sunday. So we have not had an update since Sunday. So I'm gonna ask for a refund on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, they're slacking. I don't get what's happening.
Six updates in 4 days. So there you go.
But yeah, so that's pretty much it in ARK.
Nothing
and
crazy.
I actually played around with mods this week.
Oh, okay.
Like installing mods on the server, because that's the one thing I just hadn't done it. So I wanted to figure out how to do that. This weekend I was playing around and was able to install a nice thing for managing the server and installed some mods so that I'm trying to remember what all they do. One was for making bridges, like you can make a bridge that goes between two canyons or something. And then we had one that increased what's in airdrops, which I think is a little overpowered. So I'm going to be looking at different ones in place of that, because you're getting like a rocket launcher and a rocket out of an airdrop right now. You know, so we'll see what other ones are available, if there's a way to tweak those. But I guess if you're looking to get some quick, good gear, log in and download or grab some of those airdrops that are happening right now.
There you go. Now, Brian,
before I fix them,
Do we have a Brian Aldridge game dump 2016 game?
Yes, actually. And this one, I'm going to put the name of it here. It's Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure. Probably have never heard of this, but
I've heard of Tesla Effect.
Okay, so this is a game. It looks pretty interesting. It's got a good rating on Steam. I mean, a very positive rating. I always check those out. Either a game is so bad that people troll good reviews, or it's actually a good game. And it's kind of hard to say when you see very positive on there. But this seemed like a pretty interesting game.
Is this the right thing? It looks all live action.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was released May 8th of 2014. It is a detective comedy, noir style. It's an adventure. So it fits, you know, I guess adventure, survival, close enough.
Yeah, but MMORPG.
This is a $20 game. So
what's the code word?
It actually says I don't have this. Just kidding. So
wait, what? You don't own this game already?
No, I think I do. Because I'm not logged into Steam.
Ah.
I should probably check before I give this away. So, but yeah, Tesla Effect. I'll give it away either way because I'll probably never play. It says in library, so
okay,
I already
have this. You're good.
I'm usually pretty good about making sure the games I'm getting ready to give away actually already have put in my library. But yeah, it looks like an interesting game. It's a lot of live video. So,
what is the what's the code word?
All right. Well, I should probably put it in there so people don't start typing it before. All right, so the code word will be Tesla. All lowercase. I'll type it in how it needs to be, Tesla.
Okay.
So Tesla's Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure. I mean, this game's worth $20 right now. Like, if you
very
to go
interesting
buy it,
looking.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what to think.
Yeah, I mean it
looks so like a. It
says
fake.
If you look at that thing, it says as a review, it's like that '90s feeling. Remember that. When games in the 90s when they were doing this?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I guess you wouldn't. I don't. That. I do not.
But there was a period of time when computers were getting fast enough to where you could play a live video during a video game. Like you could have clips and
cutscenes.
But the cutscenes. But the 3D effects weren't good enough. So for the things that they wanted to have a nicer video on or nicer, they wouldn't do net like now where they just do a 3D playback of what the scene is.
Mm-hmm.
They would record these things and either play the animated version of it or like this. They would use live video.
That's funny.
During the games. And so that's kind of a throwback to that whole feeling.
Okay.
So, all right. So this is, Tesla, type it in chat. And I don't know if you have your little countdown thing.
I do not.
Only 7 people so far in this one right now.
Well, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. Is your girlfriend...
No clue.
I see her on there.
Okay, I don't have the list.
So Ferrari has entered for you. All right, so...
Well, thank God.
Are we ready to roll? Should I do it now?
I think you should.
Has this been enough wheel spinning?
Yes, plenty of wheel spinning. I'm really good at wheel spinning, and it was starting to get a little much. So, Brian, who's our winner of Tesla Effects, a Tex Murphy adventure?
All right, so our winner is Ferrari.
Hey!
That was not rigged. It was not rigged,
there
I swear.
You go. There's like a lady that looks like Betty White in this game. This is
maybe.
It's not her.
Maybe,
but
that's,
I mean,
maybe that's why it's $20.
Just they have to pay her the royalties.
Yeah.
She just turned like 98 or something this weekend.
Yeah,
so
she's
crazy.
She's getting up there in age. All right, so I just sent the code to your
Now, did
email
you know
friend.
That this is an Altus game?
It is a what?
Altus, the publishing company?
Mm-mm.
I wasn't aware of that. Altus, they make like the Persona series, and I didn't know this was Altus.
Okay.
And I think it's, I would imagine it's
so
the
full
same
motion
Altus.
Video in 2K. So this is actually like high quality. This isn't like the old school. Like this is high definition video.
It's a green screen. It's, I mean, we showed it. It's the people standing behind a green screen, and then they chroma key them into the scene. It's not like crappy 32-bit video.
It says, the game review for something gamer was like, it's damn good.
Yeah, that's like Brian's review.
Yeah, that's what I always say.
Better than I thought.
But yeah, that's, so that was Tesla. I'm sorry, I only have one copy of it.
All right. Well, we'll do probably one more game giveaway. It's not that many people here live, but we'll do another one. And of course, next week, and Brian's got hundreds of games to.
I've got billions of games to give away. How did she win again? Well, only 8 people entered this one. We got over 20 something people watching.
Has she ever won before?
I don't remember if she's won one.
I haven't gotten any free games, so no, I guess not.
Can't believe it.
There you go. It's rigged. It's fine. It's all set.
I bet he says, because
you know,
are you saying I've never downloaded? I haven't installed this.
No, probably not. Yeah. So that is Ark. That was Ark News. That was Brian Aldridge's Gamed Up 2015.
2016.
Sorry. I'm living in the past. So the problem. So, I kind of took a shot at them because I said, wow, 5 updates in 4 days. That's astonishing. So since the 13th, which was last Wednesday, we have had one, count them, one H1Z1 updates. And not even an update. I'm sorry, just a post. Not even an update.
We're considering an update of information.
An information overload update. So the title of this on the H1Z1 website is "The Scream Heard Round the Wasteland." There's a kind of a few things here that I want to cover. So there's this blog post on here. They show off the new Screamer zombie that they are going to be implementing into H1Z1. And this is the look at it. It is a female, because there was a picture. It was in the December art wrap video. So we saw it like 2 weeks ago in the art wrap video. But here's the official post on it. So, what you see from this picture here.
Yeah, they did change this. Like the picture that they're showing here is different than the original one we saw.
Yeah.
Because like the orange pants.
Well, there's a bunch of different ones.
Okay. Cause I was going to say that's different than what we saw before.
Yeah. So this is a straight jacket zombie, with, no bottom jaw, and their whole head is covered in the straight jacket. So, that's the kind of the look there. So you can imagine what that looks like for our audio listener. The great description. so that's what it looks like. You got into the art.
It's like the tongue is just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. And these are there's a bunch of different, there's like skinned versions of it, right here. So there's one with the skull.
You can get one with pink pajama bottoms. Well,
technically you're not getting them. They're just spawning.
But if you killed them, you would probably get those pants, I would assume.
I would not make that generalization.
Well, that's how it's supposed to work.
I doubt it. So,
like of the hats, like if you see something on the zombie, sometimes you can get it.
Yeah,
like, I assume that's the. But isn't it kind of weird that like that's a black?
You're not going to get the straight jacket, so you would just get the pants.
It's a black straight jacket with pink pajama bottoms.
It would be cool if you could. Well, it would be cool if you could put the straight jacket on.
Yeah, well, how would you shoot a gun?
That's the whole thing. You would use it as a handcuffs or something. You could put it on people. Force.
Oh,
them.
You could put those on people so
See?
They can't attack you.
See?
Rather than handcuffs.
Yeah, now we're talking.
There you go, Nick. You're thinking ahead.
I'm thinking outside the box. So this is the thing. This is the there's some work in progress videos. You can kind of see what it does. It just it's pretty freaky looking. Now what I do.
It's pretty dark. I mean, for what they've been doing so far, this is really dark. Like I got not really negative feedback, but I didn't really get any very much positive feedback from saying we should have like younger zombies.
Yeah. You got a lot of heat for that, which really didn't make any sense.
But then look at this thing. Like this is like dark.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody in a straitjacket. They have no bottom jaw. Like all of their everything that is your bottom jaw is holding up is just kind of dangling out of their mouth. It's pretty gross. It's a video game, but it's the what they're trying to do and the look is it's pretty gross and creepy. So Brian and I were talking earlier, and I just got like. They mentioned a screamer once in the past. They definitely mentioned a screamer once in the past. And I found this. And I'm trying to figure out if this is what they meant or if this is a revision of that. And I've got a few things to support my argument here. Now, this is... Brian, we're taking a step back in time. We're taking it. We're going back to July 2015. And this is July 21st. This is part of the July roadmap that was in place. So this was like 6 months ago. And there's a post in here, and it says new zombie type Screamer. And the description is, you will find this zombie sitting alone in places around the map. If you fail to kill it silently, it will get up and run away from you screaming the whole time. Its screams will draw in other zombies. It will also have increased health, making it harder to take down. Now, this was 6 months ago. And what we, or at least what I equated it to, and I think Brian agreed with me, was the Left 4 Dead witch, which is like a witch that sits somewhere
like
in the map.
Like a girl that's sitting there and...
She's crying, and you can tell that she's close by her cry. And when you, if you startle her, she will run towards you screaming and attract all the zombies. And that's what this, from this description, that's what it appeared it was. You would find it sitting alone in places around the map. That's exactly what the Left 4 Dead Screamer was. And I'm not saying that that's like they're copying them, because it's a really, I like the Left 4 Dead Screamer. It's a cool little element to the game. And it'll scream and draw the other zombies. Now, this Screamer doesn't, I don't think it's the same thing. I think they had an idea for what they wanted to do in July, and we're seeing a revision of that. I just don't think that's what they meant. That's not what I took away. They didn't mention nothing about I don't even think the hospital was...
At the time hadn't been released.
Yeah, like that wasn't part of the thing.
One thing that I don't understand, when you're doing a screamer, why would you do something that doesn't have a jaw? It can't scream. I mean, I'm being honest.
Okay.
You're doing a screamer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the ability to scream. Like, if you were to take someone's jaw and make it look like this, and then they attempted to scream, what would happen?
You'd be dead.
It'd be a gurgling noise.
They have no bottom jaw. It's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be a gurgling noise. Why would you make the screamer something that doesn't, if you're looking at it, it wouldn't scream. And its face is covered.
Yeah. I don't think it was the same thing. I really don't think their thoughts in July were what we're seeing implemented right here. Because the idea of having the, like, Left 4 Dead 2 screamer in this game was really cool. And another thing Brian brought up to me was, is this thing only going to be in the hospital? Because it doesn't make sense if it's not. You want to elaborate on that, Brian?
Because having these things run around, like around the lake at the cabins and all that, like, why? They're limiting themselves by doing this in something that is supposedly coming from the hospital. They're limiting this to be the upper left of the map, at least on the current map. I mean, they're talking about doing the new map and they'll move things to where they're more centrally located, whatever. But right now, I mean, they're making something that, as far as lore, if you're keeping track of this stuff, this would be in the hospital.
They even mention they mention it 3 or 4 times in the description. You are making your way through a rundown hospital on a moonlit night. They make that part of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is something that once again is limiting itself to a very small section of the map. A lot of times when they're making new content, like that new content only, like the hospital is one little section. The military base is one little section.
Mm-hmm.
Like they need to make something that can randomly be around the map and it would make sense. Like I mentioned to Nick, we were talking about this earlier, and I said, well, this would make more sense to be like a younger girl, like a middle-aged to upper grade school age girl that screams, you know. And I said, if you really want it to be creepy, you know, have it be to where it's carrying like a teddy bear, or, you know, it's got like a teddy bear in
the typical like horror movie girl thing. School, yeah,
like, or maybe a little backpack on. I mean, they talked about doing a school a long time ago. Like,
yeah, we had an image of that
throughout the map.
What happened to that, I wonder?
I mean, I think they're so scared of doing something, and that's where I don't get. They're willing to do this, which is, I mean, it's sadistic.
It's a zombie survival game, for Christ's sake.
But I mean, it seems like they're so nervous to do something that would be cutting edge for them. To have a young age zombie, I mean, for some people, they'll be like, oh, that's horrible. It's real.
But here's the thing, Brian, and this is where I go back to my initial point, which was at this point a year ago, they have got to style this game as if it's a free-to-play. If you start adding things that are dark and sadistic to this game, you're now turning people off.
They're taking this a different direction. Like, this is dark and sadistic, though.
It is, but that's the thing. And it all comes back to the free-to-play element. It all comes back to that. The reason that there isn't dark, sadistic stuff, in my opinion, in this game right now, is because they have to appeal. Guess who plays free-to-play games, Brian? Kids in middle school. Kids in upper elementary school. Kids that, you know, freshmen in high school. Like, people that don't have an extra $20 to buy a game. They're still relying on their parents. They can't work. I was in that situation not too long ago. And I played every free-to-play game there was on Steam. Because I didn't have any money. So at a certain point, I feel that the biggest limiting factor of this game thus far has been the free-to-play thing. The reason they haven't been able to be so dark. The reason that we're dealing with crates and skins and all this
other
stuff.
Because they got to make it to where when the parrot walks in the room, they don't say, ooh, what is that?
Exactly.
You know, you're not allowed to play this anymore. But this is like borderline. Like this is one of the things. If I saw my kid playing this game and it was a young junior high, I'd be like, what are you playing?
You'd be like, that was in the game 15 years ago. It's still there.
I guess so. Now, and one thing, I mean, Supercar Fan says, you know, well, dead bodies walking around is just as realistic as screaming without a lower jaw.
Yeah, but the regular zombies are not
scary at all.
I mean, they're
whatsoever.
Let me see if I can find a picture.
I mean, is this them working towards that, making something that's actually creepy?
Yeah, I mean,
if this is the first step and this is the direction they're going, I mean, this will be. And I was actually mentioning we do talking outside of the show, believe it or not. But we were talking about, like, I was saying, man, the lighting is one thing they really need. If they're going for this,
which they are,
creepy feel, and they did say that they're working on that.
Yeah,
the next thing needs to be lighting.
Yeah,
now when you go in a building, like, the building is dark, you can't see around every corner. It's not like walking into a lit room because there's no power yet. I mean, there's not power to the building, to the houses.
Yeah. Now, this is an H1Z1 zombie. This thing is not scary. It just looks like a guy with went and slaughtered an animal. He's just got a bunch of blood on his shirt. I mean, he's got he doesn't have a lips, maybe, but he's not scary. I mean, look at him. He's got full, no rips. This is an older picture, I can tell. This is from the early access video. But there's no rips in his pants. There's maybe a slight tear in his shirt. His collar is down, for Christ's sakes.
His shoes are tied.
Yeah, his shoes are tied. I mean, this is not scary. That is not a scary thing. You don't look at that and go, huh. You don't get it. The only scare effect in H1Z1 is if you're totally, like, alt-tabbed. And then you start getting attacked by a zombie. That's I've jumped a few times because I'm like browsing and doing something else, and I've just got the game open and I get attacked by something. But I've never seen a zombie. I was like, oh, watch out. The thing is spooky. It's running right towards me. Like, there's no scary element. The music isn't even scary. Yeah, that's the one thing. The Daisy Arma 2 mod had this, it sounded like a blade, like, cutting through something constantly, like some type of revolving blade. And that wasn't a horror game, but it was just this, like, grungy kind of music that was just had you on edge the entire. That game sound was so important that you would hear that, and it would, like, totally throw you off. Like, you would stop and not move for 5 minutes.
That's what I really want, like, for this style of a game. That's what I'm wanting, is something that kind of gets you. And that's why I was saying the lighting would make a huge difference. If they could get the lighting right and then get these kind of creepy things in there with the right music to where you actually feel, wow, you know, like, you're going around and get put into that moment.
Now, here's the,
but you don't get that with this.
Here's the thing
in this game so far.
And this is the problem I think they're going to have. The scene you are describing, when you say that, the scene I paint in my head is like a single player indie survival game. Darkly lit room, a desk, a bed, a sink. Just very darkly lit. You know, you walk in the room and the door slams behind you. That's what I picture. The reason that doesn't work in a survival in a multiplayer survival game is because the second there's another person there, it totally breaks you out of the element. the whole thing with these single player games that are so scary, it's because you can only be focused on one thing, and that's whatever the single player storyline is. There is no storyline in this. So you could walk into a room and it's dark and it's grungy, but then there's XX 360 no-scoper in the corner calling you gay. That's what you're going to run into. That's seriously what you run into. They can do so much to build up that scene, but it's always going to get, that immersion will always get broken by running into other people.
So here's where I keep going back to Miscreated though. Miscreated does the right lighting. When you walk into a building, there's that adjustment time for your eyes. People kind of mix in to the background. You could actually hide in a building and be like, oh, I hope they don't come into this room. And it has it to where you have that surprise effect if someone walks in because it's dark. It's possible to kind of get that feeling. Of course, the person being there will take you out of that moment, but I think that it could still be less like what I feel in H1Z1 of you run in and it's just, we're just going to shoot until someone falls. There's no sneaking. Yeah. There's no hiding in the dark. None of that happens in this game. And I think they could add a lot to it to where, okay, if I'm in a house and it's kind of dark, I'll hide in this corner. Maybe they won't notice me. Where now they just kind of swing their camera around all the corners and they'll definitely see you or not. It's like if they look at it, happen to look in that way, you're perfectly lit. You're right in front of them.
Yeah. I don't know what the solution is. But the what you want of this game, I think, is only achievable in a single player game. It will never be able to.
I don't
to
think
get
so. I think that if they craft it right, they could.
Is there any other multiplayer games that are like H1Z1 that do this? That have, it's the whole horror element in horror is kind of too much of a word, but that deep grungy element, so much of that is created by turning off the lights in your room or wherever you're playing, putting on a headset, cranking the volume up, and just staring at your screen till something jumps out at you.
Yeah.
But you're going to be in TeamSpeak, you're going to be talking to people, that's going to break your immersion instantly.
Yeah.
You're going to be having a conversation. But I just don't think that's... I'm fine with that element. I would have no problem playing with what you're describing.
Possible. So I felt more of this in Left 4 Dead. In Left 4 Dead 2.
But Left 4 Dead has a goal. That's the difference.
End, it is a set track. But they were able to set up on that because it's a track from beginning to end.
Exactly. That's how you can do it.
They were able to set up those surprises and cues of things to happen. Yeah. And so that's where... That is a multiplayer, but it is not the same...
You can have an oil tanker explode when you load into a scene or when you get to a certain point in a scene. In a multiplayer game, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. When they talked about bringing in a storyline for the hospital, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on here. This is multiplayer. Yeah. You can't incorporate a storyline into a multiplayer. I mean, you can do little bits here and there.
Yeah. I get more of this feeling from Miscreated because... When I play Miscreated, they have music going.
Okay.
Kind of puts you into the moment.
Yep.
And then there's enough of those visual cues of something is happening. I keep talking about that trail that goes off into the woods or that road or whatever it is. You see blood dragged into a room and you want to go see, why. That has those feelings of when I'm running around. I'm still kind of in the moment because there's birds and there's all those little sounds to where if you look around, you're like, okay, I kind of feel like I'm here, in this moment. This isn't just the same old, they're actually making it to where if you were in that real situation, what would the sounds be like? What might I see? And that is not anything that I see in H1Z1. You don't hear noises. You don't hear rushing water. There's nothing. You're just running around and you can almost mute the game sounds other than the bullets just so you'd hear when someone's shooting at you and it would make no difference.
Yeah. This is I don't know. I'm kind of lost. I understand what you what I can visualize what you are saying.
What I'm wanting.
But it's never going to happen in this game. It's not the engine doesn't make it possible. The multiplayer.
But that's what I was kind of hoping for when I originally purchased this game. Was ooh, you know, there's going to be scary zombies. I'm going to have to sneak around. Like, how much does that happen? Like, how much do you sneak around in H1Z1?
You don't. But that could easily be changed.
They could make it once they start getting more sound aggro and more threat. You know, but I think that they're still, unless this really does it. But if it's only at the hospital, like, people just run across the map. You could put it on auto run and run across the map and have very little worry.
Well, and that was my whole point, was I would all tab out and run across the map. First of all, they need to take the auto run key out because that's a huge issue. That's just like, you want to talk, if you have more than one monitor on your computer, you know damn well that you have auto ran and done something else on your computer or played a game on your phone because you have 15 minutes to kill. There's a lot of core game issues that, like you just say, like, oh, they have to make the zombies like more of a threat. To do that, you've got to make it impossible to get weapons. That needs to be a legitimate thing. It's still 25 minutes in a decent size. Not even 25 minutes. You could spawn at the campgrounds by Ruby Lake, which is south. What is that? Southwest of Cranberry. You could spawn just there. You could go into four cabins and you could have all the gear you would want. Five cabins, maybe.
And people are still mostly playing
BR.
BRs. Like, this content has nothing to do with a BR. And people aren't really playing survival anymore.
At
least this is some survival. Like, what they're going to be releasing, this is 100% survival.
Yeah. But the only way you make the zombies a threat are by making the weapons and guns more valuable. But then there's still hackers.
Now, someone said, take out the makeshift bow. What do you think of that? Z Jordan says, take out the makeshift bow.
I think they should take out the makeshift bow. If they want to make zombies a threat, the second you spawn
in. Like, so you can make some sort of a club with a stick. Like, you have that. Or you can make a very rough hatchet. Those type of things. Like, I understand that. But I don't go into the woods and in a couple minutes I'm able to make a bow.
It's not even a couple minutes.
I'm just saying in real life, like, well, you're making a bow where I could grab a stick and hit something with it.
You shred your shirt and you pick up, you go to a few of the berry trees and they drop sticks.
Yeah. But having it to where you can make that makeshift bow instantly makes it to where you can pretty much take out any of the zombies.
Yeah.
And I think if they took that away, and that would make it to where the game is, and then make it to where it's still very rare to get a bow. Like, make it to where having a weapon is difficult.
Yeah, because at that point, now you will sneak around town. Now you will be more cautious of people.
You'll find a knife maybe somewhere, and we'll sneak around with it.
Yeah, there is. You can go from spawn to completely geared and comfortable in. And if you get a really crappy spawn, maybe half an hour to 45 minutes. If you don't get a good spawn and you've got to run for a little while. Yeah. But you can go from absolutely nothing to something. And then you just log out and you're done. Like, I don't even know if I have a character in the current game.
No, you don't.
Yeah, there you go. It's just... I mean, when was the last time you played H1Z1?
It has been...
Well, actually, you can look at your Steam. I'll do the same.
I have not played H1Z1 since 11/21.
I got you beat 11/19.
So it's been 2 months.
Yeah, actually, for me, it's literally been 2 months today.
Yeah, 2 months.
I haven't played H1Z1 since 2015. Can you believe that?
And I haven't had no interest. It's so frustrating to me. I don't want to play BRs anymore. And there's a lot of other things that interest me more than BRs.
It has not crossed my mind. But, you know, we should do a BR weekend. That would be fun, getting some of the old members back on that are into H1Z1. We should do that. We should schedule that for sometime soon.
But more of the fun for that is not for me playing the game, but it's just getting back together with some of those people that don't have these other games.
Let's do that like next week, and we'll do something. We'll announce something on next week's show. We definitely need to do that because I know that there's still people that watch that are interested in H1Z1 that we haven't talked to in months. We'll do a BR weekend. That is H1Z1 news. Now, there are... So, we've got a... I don't even know where to start with this. John Schmedley, the
CEO.
Yeah, it was the former CEO of Sony Online Entertainment, then Daybreak. He left the company after the whole dispute with the Lizard Squad hacking group. They were DDoSing the H1Z1 servers. He threatened legal action and called them like little kids or something like that, and that pissed him off even more. But that was, you know, that was the one thing I always liked about him, is he was just like kind of like, he had like the FU mentality that was like, you know, you're not just going to do this and then have me just pony up and say, oh, we're, you know, our game's down. He was like, no, you know, F you for what you're doing. You're a bunch of children and I'm going to sue you. I don't think he actually said F you, but I mean, it's the mentality that he had. But that, I mean, that was kind of that, like, just like bare knuckle mentality that he had, which I liked. And I think, I mean, for people that don't know, people that are new to H1Z1 was his baby. He went to Sony Online Entertainment with with the idea of H1Z1 and said, let's make this game a reality. So this is his, this is his baby. It's his game. It's his idea. So he left after that. It was rumored that he was going to do something else with the company. Then he left.
Yeah, he was making his own company, which... I heard that he was going to make his own company, which he did.
Yep.
So Pixel Image.
Yeah, Pixel Games. Image Games. I mean,
so this is the company that he's done.
Yeah, so this is what he is doing is very, it's just like the indie game market that we currently have. So he is doing a Kickstarter. Have you watched the Kickstarter video yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched most of it because I was mobile.
Does he do a good intro?
Yeah.
Should we play the intro then?
Yeah, you should definitely play it.
Okay, so this is John Smedley, the current CEO and founder of, was it Pixel?
Pixel Image Games.
There's only one L. That's weird. So this is Pixel.
Pixel Mage. Is it Pixel? Oh, it's Pixel Mage.
Pixel Mage. Yeah, it can't be Pixel.
There we go.
Pixel Mage. All right, so here we go.
I'm John Smedley. I'm the CEO of a new company named Pixel Mage Games. Pixel Mage Games was founded by a group of industry veterans who've made a lot of games that you have likely played. We founded Pixel Mage Games with a simple idea: to make an incredibly deep fantasy sandbox game. We want to have AI that breathes life into the world. We want our games to have their own unique look and feel. So we've come up with a beautiful 2D pixel art style that we think you're really going to like. We also want to make our games have an incredibly deep and engaging multiplayer aspect to them. So we've come up with a system where you can play the game either single player or you can play it with hundreds of your friends on the servers that you host yourself. Today, I'm proud to announce that our first game is called Heroes Song. It is an open world, roguelike fantasy sandbox experience that you can either play by yourself or with hundreds or thousands of your friends.
Heroes Song features deep world and history generation. You start by creating a new world, by choosing the gods that rule that world. And that determines everything. What biomes exist, so whether it's forests or mountains or deserts, as well as what civilizations have existed over thousands of years of history. Heroes Song has a wide variety of races and classes for you to play. All of the things you would expect in an awesome fantasy RPG are there. We have elves and dwarves, as well as warriors and wizards, but there's lots of surprises ahead too. Heroes Song is also a hardcore action RPG. You'll pick and customize a hero, and that hero comes with a fully detailed history and genealogy. Combat is real-time and tactical, giving you the time you need to make creative decisions and consider the consequences. Friendly fire is always on, and death is real in Hero's Song. When your hero dies, they must travel to the Shadow World and complete a trial. The specific details of that trial are totally dependent upon the god you've chosen to rule the afterlife. If you fail, he's lost forever. But if your hero survives a long adventuring career and proves worthy, they can even ascend to be a god themselves. Your ascended hero can then be shared with other players, and they can use it as a god to shape their own new world. And so your heroes will live forever. With all the world and character options available, each run in Hero's Song is totally unique.
We spent a lot of time on the world building.
So that is a little intro on Hero Storm?
Hero's Song.
Hero's Song.
And we put a link into chat for the Kickstarter, and also we'll have it in our show notes for people that are listening.
Yeah.
Now, this is, to me, this is opposite of everything that Daybreak has become.
It's not even. I love how H1Z1 was one of his resume items. It was like games you may know us from: EverQuest, H1Z1, PlanetSide 2.
Now this one, I mean, if you look at Daybreak, like here you can host your own servers.
Yeah.
Daybreak is totally against it. Here, like, death is something where you lose everything. This is more like the original EverQuest.
Yeah.
If you take a lot of the elements of what EverQuest was, there's a lot of that in this game. And plus, I mean, you can have, from what they're saying, hundreds or thousands of people on a server. So it's got to have a really low footprint. You know, it's not as intensive as...
Brian, you mean you can play with thousands of your friends?
Yeah.
All thousands of them.
Thousands of them, yes.
So this is his Kickstarter campaign. Interesting move by that.
So their goal is 800,000. They started this...
They're not going to get 800,000.
I don't know. It's 29 days to go, and they're almost at 40,000 right now. They have 867 backers. So
a lot of backers, yeah.
With your $25 pledge, you get a digital copy, beta 2 access, and a thanks in the credits. And it goes up from there. So then it's $50, $100, $150, $250. So all the way up to, let's see, $10,000.
Yeah.
You get the digital collector's edition. Which is, I find it odd that when you do $10,000, you don't get multiple copies of the game. But
I mean, I'm sure you could get as many copies as you would like.
But yeah, at that point. And so, yeah, they have it to where you can name 10 of the NPCs, design 10 of the NPCs. I mean, they're giving you a few things, but really premium server listing. So your server will be one of the main servers on the list.
And they probably host it for you forever or whatever. Now, this isn't survival, or this isn't really what we cover, but I just want to get your opinion on it, Brian. Now, for people that don't know, the problem with Kickstarter is when you're trying to raise almost $1 million, is if you don't reach their goal of 800,000, you get none of the money.
Yeah.
So I wonder, and I don't know if this is technically allowed with Kickstarter's terms of service, I wonder if they have the money. And yeah. If it comes down to the wire, they will pledge the rest of it. Because 800...
I would assume. It looks like they've put in a lot of the work already.
They're not going to get 800,000 for this game in the next 29 days. I'm sorry. I just don't see...
I wonder if this is like 70% done.
What the hell do they need 800,000? I mean, how much did they invest if it's already 70% done? I mean, this is like a $3 million game if that's the case.
That's what I'm saying. Is like... He's probably already put some money on the line and had these people putting in this work, and then this is going to pay.
But
this is going to pay.
Well, that that's the problem.
The stuff he's already invested.
That's the problem. If you don't reach 800,000, I could be completely wrong with this. I mean, there's already almost 900 backers, and he's only raised 40,000. I mean,
yeah.
In the grand scheme of it's not even close.
So he's saying he started this. So here's the timeline of what they've been doing. So October 2015 is when they started this project.
Which is interesting. Because that's not that long ago.
January 2016 is when they created the prototype. They're looking at having a combat system in March, a pre-alpha June, alpha July, beta August, beta 2 September, and then launch in October.
That's a year from start to finish is what they're going for.
And then they're saying if they make more, so like they're going for 800,000, they're saying if they make a million, they'll have additional playable races, so trolls, ogres, and satyrs. And then at 1.3 million, have an advanced housing system. So you can build and have a farm and decorate your house and do all these things at $1.3 million. But as you said, I mean, that's...
So what Jay Delory just said is they need about $26,000 a day.
Yeah.
The problem is they started their Kickstarter. Kickstarters are 30 days. So they started it yesterday and they've only raised 40 so far. The first day is normal. The first and second day are normally like your explosion days. IGN picked this up and Gadget. I saw all the major tech blogs pick this up and gaming blogs. I saw it on Kotaku as well. Like the first like 5 days. Like they should be at 400,000 by this weekend, because it only goes downhill. You peak when everybody sees the the most of the money will come at the start. You peak when you're getting the PR. 800. He should have made the goal like 500,000 or 400,000. Yeah. I don't see him getting to 800,000.
So, I mean, I wonder how much of that, like, that's the problem is they show video of the gameplay, but if they don't even have a combat system yet, like, that's got to be all staged gameplay then.
Probably. Which is fine.
So, I mean, yeah, that's fine. They got to get it out there for the Kickstarter, but it'll be interesting to see how this actually works.
So
I mean, they've got a lot of detail.
Yeah. And PHVCK saying, why do they need, I don't understand why they need $800,000 either. What I think it comes down to is operating expenses, which they're in San Diego.
A year worth of operating expenses.
Yeah. But and it's not cheap to run a company and rent space in San Diego. Definitely. Yeah. So it's interesting.
But he's done like 3 months. Like, let's say they're thinking $800,000 is to do a project from beginning to end, the operating expenses of a year.
Yeah.
You know, to pay all the people and to have the buildings and
so
do everything.
He's already other like $200,000 into it.
That's what I was saying is he's already pitched out money out of his pocket.
That's the problem with Kickstarters. If you don't reach a goal, you get nothing. Like, what's going to happen if this Kickstarter fails?
You know, this for him, this almost has to go. Like, this is going to be a bad.
It's not going
to
happen.
Start to his new company.
You know,
they can't get this out.
I know
that's
I'm negative.
Why he should have started smaller.
I know I'm negative. I and people accuse me of that all the time. But $800,000. That's
for an 8-bit game. Now,
what's
this
the,
is going to have
graphics?
The ability to generate maps. I think they're having where it's going to generate the world. So. I would think that this is going to be have some ability to do auto generation of maps. Maybe not, but that's kind of what I got out of what he said.
Yeah. So far the average donation amount is $44. That's going to have to go much higher.
Well, they didn't give much option. I mean, it's pretty much 25 or 50 on up. I mean,
yeah.
They almost should have just done like a $20, you get a digital copy when it's released. So you're not getting it for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're saying, all right, you get beta 2 access with this one.
Honestly, I'm not.
You get beta 1 access. Well, why am I paying so much to have, once again, an alpha?
Well, no, you're getting beta. There's a alpha 1. There's pre-access. There's alpha 1.
You pay $100, you get alpha.
Yes. So there's going to be an alpha, a beta, and then a beta 2. So $25 gets you it's the third rung. I don't know. Maybe we could contact him. I wonder if he'll come on and talk about it. Even though it's not really our game, he's a person of interest with this whole thing. So I'm interested in what their goals are and if they think this is feasible, because that's a very ballsy goal.
And what's odd is that this is a very niche market.
Like I will not be spending
$25 on this. People that play these hardcore RPGs.
Yeah.
Is a niche market, and he's counting on that there's enough of those people, enough of people that used to play games like EverQuest that will go for this, that really care about the lore, that care about their character and building up his backstory and all this stuff that your average younger, and that's why I'm saying this is totally opposite of what Daybreak is all about.
Yeah. I mean,
this is catering to a totally different audience.
So I just did this quickly. I don't know if it's correct. So for 800,000, the average was like $44 a person. They need 18,181 people to pledge. 18,000 people. Sorry, I don't see that happening. I could be completely wrong. You know, two people buy that $10,000 package and it totally throws that number.
Now people are saying, like Falcon saying this, they can target the mobile market as well. This type of a game would play on a tablet.
They can do, but they're not in this. So mobile player is not going to...
But if they release this...
But if they don't reach their goal, they're not going to release it, is what I would assume.
Yeah, and that's where he really should have gone for maybe something short of what he would consider operating expenses.
Yeah.
You know, go for $500,000
and do
make it to where
stretch.
It actually happens, and then hope that once people see that it's going to happen, people will start donating.
Yeah, because you can do stretch goals on Kickstarter. So you can do a $500,000 with an $800,000 stretch goal.
I mean, they have stretch goals, but their stretch goals are $1 million and 1.2. What, 3 million did I say?
Yeah, 1.3 million.
Yeah.
So.
They should have put a little bit between that. Like, if we get 800,000, then we'll, you know, have a tablet version. Like, it'll be playable on tablets. Or, you know, if we get 1 million, like, that's not, we're going to add a couple more playable classes for 1 million.
Yeah.
Because all that is different graphics.
True. So we,
Now, Gadlaw, he said, breaking news, 1.2 megabyte update on the H1Z1 test server.
Well, let's check it out. Let's check the news wire.
1.2 megabytes. It can't be big.
There is no update on new on the news wire, so. Okay. Sorry to report. So that is Heroes Song by Pixel Mage Games, and you can check that out. There'll be a link on our website, and then there's also a you can just Google it and do everything else.
Yep. And then, yeah, we'll have all the show notes. In the show notes, we'll have a link to the Kickstarter and, yeah, the IGN article you can go check out and has some backstory on it.
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the How to Survive.
Sure.
So this is, I don't know, we're not, okay, make sure we're not doing a game giveaway yet. Or are we behind on it? No, we're good.
No, we're good.
Okay, so on How to Survive, I had an opportunity to play this. And so I went through and played single player because I want to play with a group with four players or something. There's like 2 to 4 co-op that you can do. How to Survive has very positive on the rating system. And so I figured it can't be that bad, you know. So I went through and started playing in the story mode. Like, I don't know how far I am through it, but it is actually really fun. I've been going through and just going through their storyline. Like, they have fishing, they have hunting, they have building, and it's got a crafting system. It's got to where you can improve your character's abilities to do things. It's actually a very good game, and I think I'm barely touching the surface so far.
Now, have you played any of the multiplayer yet?
No. Okay. I've only done this single player story mode.
Gotcha.
And it goes through, and like, there's actually a story to it.
Well, that's
nice. You're going, you know, it's like, oh, you got to find this person. Oh, there's a radio broadcast. You know, someone's in trouble. You should go check it out as soon as you can. So the person says, hey, oh, you know, I got to get some gas for this boat. Come back later and we'll have it and we'll go. And you go from island to island. There's these different islands.
Okay.
So as you go from island to island, you're kind of figuring out what's on that island. And there's a whole story behind what's there. So it was released October of 2013. So it's not like a new game. But, you know, it's definitely, really enjoyed it. So this is How to Survive. You know, it's got a good crafting system. It's definitely a game to check out. So, and we did give away a couple copies last week. So there are some people that we'll be able to play with. But if you haven't played it yet, I encourage you to get it installed and actually launch it. And right now it's a $15 game. But, you know, when the sales come, it drops down to a couple bucks. So.
Yeah, there you go. So that covers, that's pretty much all of our news. Now you've got some other things in here. There was a miscreated update this week. There was a Rust update. What do you want to tackle first?
So since I've been talking about miscreated, let's go ahead and start with that.
Okay.
And I actually contacted the media person for miscreated today and hopefully we'll hear back. I want to get some copies of that game to give out during the show.
Yeah.
Because as you hear me every week talk about, like, I'm a big fan of how this game is made. When I go through this game, I just don't understand why there aren't more people playing it. And they're adding content. Like, you hear a lot of Nick and I being sarcastic and being frustrated about the lack of content in H1Z1. If you go through, like, this is patch number 31. It was released today.
There you go.
And they've added... they've added a ton of things. Like, they've added crossbows. They've added, you know, like pistol iron sights. They realigned those. The bicycle helmet was added because they added a bike last patch. It says map added. So I think a map for when you're in game, not like a whole new map, but a map so you can see where you're at in game. They added a tarp, camouflage netting. there's a huge list of changes that they did. So they're definitely actively developing this. You know, I just don't understand why more people there's a team that's putting in what seems like more content than what we're getting with another game that has multiple times the sales.
Well, this game is what, like $25 or $30 normally? I mean, they need to do a fire sale and make this game like $1.
Because they're putting out the content. They just got to get people to play it.
And that's the thing. If you're at one point you're putting out the content and nobody's playing, it doesn't really matter that you're putting out the content. I mean, this game needs to be during the next Steam sale. And get it. You know, I understand. I don't want to sound like I know what I'm talking about here, but you know, like I've done some business. I understand you have to make money. But if you're doing a patch and less than 100 people are playing the game, you're wasting your time. I hate to be the bearer of bad. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but that's the reality. You're paying somebody an hourly wage or salary wage to work. And then nobody is seeing it besides a handful of people.
And that's where I've been frustrated is like, I've never seen a base in this game.
Yeah.
You know, but there's supposedly a really good base building system. You know, it's just, they've updated the texture of the base terrain for the world. They added more detail. The terrain vegetation now blends with the base terrain color better. It's like they really work on the environment. Mm-hmm. And making it to where it just looks nice. They've done an excellent job. Like windmills. They go into the details of like windmills now rotate with the wind.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, things that you take for granted, they're putting in this game.
That's a cool little visual element if you're looking from like a field or something.
See a bunch of turbines. That's the thing for spinning. Me, that immersion of, the windmills turning and you hear the birds chirping and like that. That for me,
the birds chirping, the bacon cooking on the stovetop. Yeah. It's a wonderful morning in the country.
I don't know. It's just there's so much stuff in here. I want to get people playing this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's tons of stuff. Like they, I mean, if you look at the list, I mean, there's just tons of stuff in here.
And
if you look at the content, like if you made a list of H1Z1 and this a list of the different things that they have, like this would have more things.
And the thing is it's active. There are 7 replies to this on the forum.
Yeah.
There
are people playing it.
It seems like it's a very hardcore dedicated community, which is fine.
They need to get more of your average player. They're going to come on here and just play on the weekend.
But you said this is not more of an average player game. I mean, haven't you said that on more than one occasion now?
Well, I don't know. Like, since I haven't really seen the base building, like, I play it as I spawn in, I play till I die.
Okay.
You know, I because I don't have a group of people to play with, I'm not playing it for the long term. You know, everybody plays it. We're playing it on a daily basis or trying to build a base. Like, I'm not playing it for the long term. I'm not super upset when I die and lose everything because I'm not trying to save it all.
True.
I haven't had an opportunity to play it in that mode where I feel like I have anything to protect.
Now, is this a logout game where your player stays active or are you?
No, it doesn't. Like when you leave, it's gone.
So you're gone. So you don't have to necessarily play every day.
You could play on the weekends.
Okay.
Like it's that type of a game. Your base would be destroyed possibly.
Well, obviously not.
Well, I mean, there's not enough people, but there's a cave system. There's cool things in this game. You can go explore caves. You know, they've got ATVs, they've got vehicles, they've got bikes.
What engine is this? Is this Crytek?
I think this is the Crytek. Yeah.
Crytek engine. Okay.
I mean, yeah. Someone's Z Jordan saying, why isn't Daybreak buy Miscreated? They could buy Miscreated and just say, here's your survival. Enjoy. You know, we'll have a BR and we'll have this.
Yeah.
Because this looks a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the engine. But it doesn't matter how good it looks. What is in the game. Nobody's freaking playing it. So who cares? That's what it comes down to. I mean, at some point you got to realize, like, you know, Brian and I would not be doing this podcast for 53 weeks if we had one listener every week. or five yeah. listeners every week. There's a certain point where you've got to decide what is, you know, what's important.
Yeah.
And it's at this point, it's just kind of a joke.
That's where if they could go through and do a $5 sale, like they would still make money.
Yeah, $5. Give it. I mean, how much? What this is? This game is misguided.
Put it on for $5 and just get it people playing it. Like get it to where the numbers are.
You don't even need to get people to play it. You need to get it in people's Steam library so that they will play it. I mean, there are people like yourself, Brian. They're crazy. They're addicts. They have to buy a game when it's on sale. I mean, you're not alone with that. Why do you think Humble Bundle is so successful? I mean, get this game in a Humble Bundle.
Yeah. That would, I mean, for me, I would buy it and then I'd give away a copy.
Yeah, it's just, the game is $19.99.
Which is expensive for a game that's been out for 2 years. But, I mean, that is a problem is they're actively developing it. They need to make enough money to at least make it worthwhile for their developers, but they could still do that. They got to balance out the numbers of sales versus the price.
125,000 people on it. 125,000 people on it. That's terrible
for
a video.
They need to get it to 300,000 plus.
They need to get to 500,000. Half a million people.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at H1Z1's got 1.5 million, something like that.
Yeah.
And there is only 18,000, 20,000 people playing it.
They just need to get it to where a lot of people own this game. Yep. And just like what happened with 7 Days to Die, like just count on, hey, we're going to be putting out content to where people are going to all of a sudden wake up to how good this is.
Yeah.
Even if it's 6 months down the road, people will wake up to it and be like, whoa, this game is actually really good. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, look at what happened with 7 Days to Die. Like, it was kind of going down, and then they put out a major patch, and it brought so many players back.
Yeah.
This game is already really good, but there's just not the people playing it.
But yeah,
maybe what they can focus on is getting it more people can play on one server, first of all. You know, they can increase the map size if they want, and whatever it is they want to do. But the content is there. Like, it's a really good game. The environment is there. Like, they've designed it right.
Yeah. So, do we have, do you have anything else for that, or do we want to get into current players?
No, one thing, I mean, with Rust, of course, I always mention there's the whole list of updates for Rust, there's a page worth.
Too many.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go through it all, because it's all there. So we'll have our normal link to Rust updates. You're more than welcome to go and check it out. So
we'll get into, we're going to do current players and then we'll do another giveaway.
Okay.
After that. So current players is a segment where we cover current players from a variety of games. So the one that we do every week is H1Z1, of course. We talked about it a lot this show. So currently playing H1Z1, 18,177 players. The 24-hour peak is 24,279. The 7-day peak just shy of 30,000 at 29,683. Now we're going to move over to Ark Survival Evolved. Currently playing that game, 36,480 players. The 24-hour peak is 50,624. And the 7-day peak, 65,912. I've got some good news, Brian. Miscreated is up from last week. We are in the triple digits here. So 112 people currently playing. The 24-hour peak.
Was it like 20 last week or something?
It was like 79, 78. The 24-hour peak is 238. And the 7-day peak is 238. So this update today has, I bet you people saw it coming into their inbox or whatever, an update or something, or a Steam update. And they're like, hey. Let's hop back on Miscreated. So,
but still, they should have more. I mean, they could easily have 1,000 people playing this game.
Yeah, I there was a moment where I was really, really interested in this game, and then we looked at the numbers, and I was like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
nobody is playing."
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
Yeah, and they and that's where it would be a beneficial thing for them to get it out through the Humble Bundles, get it out through whatever sale, you know, they could have done in the Steam sale, but even if they threw it in a Humble Bundle, like that would instantly increase their numbers. So many people buy those Humble Bundles. I'm not the only one.
No, that's the thing. The site is successful because so many people buy it.
Yeah.
So do you want to do the giveaway now, or do you want to do tips of the week and then the giveaway? What, your call.
We can go ahead and do a giveaway.
Okay. So do that now, and then we'll do tips.
We've only done one giveaway, right?
Yeah, but there's not that. I mean, there was only 7 people in the last one. I wouldn't do 3.
Well, maybe the. Well, we'll see. Let's see how everyone takes to this one, and then we'll see if we want to do another one.
All right.
Today. So
what are we giving away?
All right, let me pull it up because I want to have the code ready when I do this. Okay. It's so many windows open that it's...
I feel your pain on that.
Difficult. All right, so I was actually looking at doing an Hitman Absolution Elite Edition.
Okay, cool.
Does that sound like a good game?
Yeah, that's a AAA title.
Yeah.
Which one is this? Just the regular Hitman Absolution?
Hitman Absolution, and okay. It's the Elite Edition.
Ooh. Elite Edition.
So, I mean, this is another $20 game. Like this, the last one we gave out was a $20 game. This is a $20 game, so definitely worth your time.
So this comes with a bunch of gun packs and some skins and stuff like that. Yep. So if you're into that stuff, so I got to enter my birthday. Rated M.
Yep, and this has a very positive rating. I'm always about giving away games that have a good rating. So this is the Elite Edition is a $25 value. It has tons. It's got 12 add-ons. What do they call them?
Skin packs. Yeah.
Yeah, DLCs. So it's got 12 DLCs that come with this. So it's a $25 value. If you went and bought it right now, it's $25. So the code, let's go ahead and put it in chat. Hitman. All lowercase. Just type it like that. This is a game. I like the Hitman series. They've been out for a long time.
AAA. This is this AAA title.
And then it's been out for a little while, but this is one of those games that at the time when it's released, it requires a nice computer. I mean, the graphics are great. They have a really good engine. And to have after, was it 4 years later after release, it still has a very positive rating, 91%. Definitely worth it. So far we've got 13 people.
There you go.
Yep. So getting a little bit better. Hitman, if you want to join that. Well, I have a lot of people in there, so we'll give it just a little bit longer. But yeah, 12 DLCs that come with this Elite Edition. So you can have some different gun skins, guns, character skins, I think. So definitely worth checking out. All right, so we've got 15 people so far, 16 people that have entered this.
All right, you ready to go then?
You think that's enough?
Yeah, I mean, there's, yeah.
All right. All right, so we'll go ahead and hit roll here.
And who is the winner of Hitman Absolution, the Elite Edition?
Judd.
It's the winner. Judd.
Yes, so It's Judd has won. I will give him a code. And we could do one more at the end of the show.
Your call. They're your games. Just want to make sure we don't run out. Keep this going.
No, I need to do a not so.
Yes, like a
major game. We've done two $20 games.
Got to do today, something. So, you got to do like a $3 or $4 game at some point.
Yeah. I make it. Yeah. I was telling Nick, I don't want to run out.
Whole idea was one like $20 game and then just two like $3 or $4 games, like the cheaper games.
And yeah. Then I've done two major games today. So
I appreciate that.
Do that all
Thank
the
you.
Time. Hey, we'll bring in some new listeners doing that.
That's what it's all about. It's all about bringing in the listeners and making the money. Which is what we're doing. Money hand over fist here.
So Judd says he'll give away Miscreated. But maybe we'll do that next week. And I'm going to try to get, as I told you, I wrote the developer or one of the people on the development team, the media part of it.
I've got a confession to make, Brian.
Yes.
We were lazy this week. I said we were going to write some emails. You were busy with work. I'm just lazy. It didn't happen. It's got to get done.
I did write one, so I wanted to get that out there. Okay. And
we got to write some emails,
get the ball rolling. But we need to write more developers.
Yes,
get some more games in here.
This is pure laziness, and I just want to get that out there. I think that's it.
Well, you know how passionate I am about Miscreated, so I was like, I got to write this thing for Miscreated, and because I bring it up, I swear every week
you do. Right? Yeah,
every week I bring up Miscreated.
Yeah, so I just to keep people up to date with that, not hiding
I was
anything.
Out of town.
Yeah, you were out of town.
We did win our hockey game.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we won the tournament. So the final game, it was starting to get dark and it was snowing so hard that 10 minutes into the game, this is an outdoor pond hockey tournament. So okay. We're out on water, you know, on the
well, you're not on water, you're on ice.
On ice, but but the snow was building up so much that we'd be skating and we'd lose the puck in the snow and I'd have to kind of skate and like start digging through it. That's how bad it was snowing in the final game.
Did your wife go to this with you?
No, she was working.
I was going to say she would have been miserable. Just sitting there freezing.
I don't make her go to this. So we're this game, like we have a sponsor. So
are a sellout.
So a sponsor pays for a hotel, the entry fee and all that stuff. So it's for me, it's a free weekend to go play hockey and have fun.
Would this sponsor be interested in the Infection podcast?
I don't think so.
All right. Well,
I think they're willing to sponsor a hockey game. I don't think they're interested in the podcast. Sorry.
Well, you know, you got
then we could truly sell out.
You got to try. Yeah. It's all about the corporate sellout. So this is, Brian, you do another segment. It's all these segments are yours. I have current players. I need another segment.
Yeah. Nick's, you need to come up with one.
Nick's crazy sound effects. That's my segment.
Yes.
You give us some, you've got to be done with the H1Z1 tips. There can't possibly.
I decided today I'm done with it.
Is there one more done?
No, it's done. I could have come up with one more and I was just like,
nail in the coffin. It's over with.
When they release the new map, maybe some new areas, we'll talk about new landing zones, but I decided this will be the official end of the H1Z1 tips of the week segment.
All right. So you ready?
Sorry. Yes. All right. So tip of the week. Sorry. Should I say tip of the week?
I don't know.
Just the tip.
Whoa. What are you? Brian,
get a
hold of yourself.
It's just one tip.
I don't know if the interest is tip or tips of the week. I don't remember.
Well,
I don't remember. I have to watch.
Tip, so maybe we'll have to start doing two.
Yeah, I'll look. We'll
just so that the intro is wrong.
Or we could do like a really crappy job of trying to like fix it. We're just kind of like you do like a crappy.
Just do like an X on the S.
I'm going to totally do that. If it says, I don't even know what it says. The file says tip of the week, new intro.mp4. So I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's, look, I don't remember.
All right, let's just get it. It's going.
All right. So tip of the week is where we go through and usually it's survival related, might be related to a game we're playing at the time. But this is something that will help you in that game or in survival games in general. So welcome to tip of the week.
It does, in fact, say tips of the week.
It is tips. I was so disappointed.
That will be fixed for next week. Have no fear.
Yes, something will be there. All right. So for this tip, I wanted to actually talk about something in ARK that with the new patch that we did has become a little bit bigger of a deal. But there is an airdrop system, which is much different than the H1Z1 airdrop system. The whole H1Z1 airdrop system was supposed to be where people would pay money and then an airdrop would go down and people would be contested. So people would fight for it. In ARK, it's different. With ARK, randomly spread across the map, there are different colored airdrops that will fall. Anyone can go and get those as long as they meet the level requirements. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the level requirements of these airdrops and then talk about what the situation is on maybe higher population servers with trying to get these. So you have to be at least level 3 to get these airdrops. And the lowest level ones are white airdrops. They'll just be a white beam of light going up in the sky. You'll see some sort of a, it looks like crystals or something that are spinning around that beam and they will drop slowly. So this, once it gets to the ground, takes probably about 5 to 10 seconds, and then you're able to go up to it and loot the items in it. So with these level 3 white airdrops, you go up, you hit E, and it'll open it up, and you'll be able to grab these items. Sometimes there will be, you know, maybe cloth gear, there will be thatch, building supplies, something fairly low level. And then the next step up would be level 15. There's green airdrops. In these, maybe you'll find more, maybe some wood type of structures, or maybe even leather, leather clothing. I guess you call it armor if you'd like. And then you go to level 25, which has blue airdrops. These are going to be higher level items, maybe some building supplies. And then you go to level 35, purple airdrops. You'll find usually weapons in these, higher level building supplies, maybe some stone items. You'll start finding recipes in the higher level ones. So not only you might get the actual item, which you only get that one of, or you might be able to find a recipe so that you can craft that item again and again, you know, later at your base. So that's the purple level 35s. Then you get to the higher level yellow 45s. You'll find saddles and different higher level items in these, maybe higher level building supplies. Perhaps you will find not only, let's say, you'll get a metal pick. There are different levels of metal pick. So you might be able to find a recipe for something that is higher, higher level of that item, not just a regular metal pick, but you'll find one that each time you swing the pick, you get more stone or you get more metal from it. And then they have the red, which is level 55. On being Ark is allowing mods and things like that, we've installed things that give you actually better items inside of each of these airdrops. So it is customizable. You're not stuck with whatever they've released. You found that there was a lot of similar items in the standard airdrops. So people would get the water jar recipe and they would get the compass recipe. And that was very common. Once you get it once, it doesn't really matter. You don't need them anymore. So that this is something where if you go on there and you add this mod, you're not getting those type of things anymore. Maybe you're getting the higher level crafting items, or you're getting weapons like a missile launcher and a missile or something. So definitely check it out. Airdrops are something that will help you in game, especially if you find those recipes, because you'll find something that maybe will give you some higher level armor, ammo, guns. But they're definitely a really good part of the game that help you get moving forward in it. So that is tip of the week.
Thank you very much, Brian.
So Pixel Mage Games just followed me on Twitter.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They followed the...
Oh, they followed us.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to take all the credit. I see how it is. It's
fine. All right. Well, I wasn't sure if the notification was for me or for the podcast. I'm assuming it was podcast. Because
it was. Yeah, followed. I got it. Pixel Mage Games followed. And at Infection Cast is our Twitter. Self-promotion. Yeah, I didn't even realize it's on the lower third. It's on there. It's down the double box. So there you go.
Yeah. Definitely check it out. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we're missing?
Not that I am aware of.
I played some Fallout 4 this week.
I saw you play that today, right? Saw you loaded
up. Last night. Yeah, I think it was today or yesterday. But yeah, I wanted to get in there and kind of see how it ran and just get back into the groove of playing a little bit. But that's the one thing that I did say before. Nice thing about Fallout is you can play it whenever you feel like it.
Yeah.
I think the problem is I was stuck when I quit playing. I was stuck really far into a building to where it wasn't like I could just run anywhere. Like I had to finish getting to the end of that part.
Yeah.
So I got out of it and now I'm actually getting to where I can run around and be on the map again.
There you go.
So. Yeah.
All right. So we all good here then?
So now there's a question. So Joe wants to know, can you import a character from a different server into the Infection one? So, and that, no, you cannot. I turned off imports so that people couldn't create local characters that are max level or high level dinosaurs and be able to import them into the server without actually doing the work. So,
yeah. All right, Brian, where can people find you on the net?
Well, I'm at Boise Computer on Twitter, or if you want to find my blog at biteoftech.com, or of course, just come onto our TeamSpeak, join us on our Steam group. If you go to infectionpodcast.com, we'll have links to both of those things on the upper right. Definitely get on our Steam group. That's a good way to see what we're playing in game currently, and join us in TeamSpeak. There's usually throughout the day, there are people in there, and you don't have to consider yourself a part of our clan to be in there. There are no requirements for membership. You can just go ahead and come in here and come into the TeamSpeak and just chat, hang out, talk. Even if you're playing a different game, it's a good group of people, more than welcome to be in there. So
do you tweet often?
No, I do not.
Okay. I was curious.
Yeah. I'm almost always logged into the Infection Podcast Twitter.
Gotcha. All right, Brian, thank you very much. We will see you. You're going to come back next week? Now that
yes,
you're,
I plan.
You've done your year. It's just all over with.
Put in my time. I'm done.
It's too long of a commitment. We will be here next. Thank you very much, Brian. We will be here next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern for Infection, the Survival Podcast. Still want people to that are subscribed to our audio podcast on iOS or Android or Windows Phone, if you're one of the people using that. If you see our new cover art image, which is this right here, then everything is working good. If you see an old image, you know what the old one looked like. If you see that, send us an email. It's contact@infectionpodcast.com or something like that, so that we can get that resolved, and we'll try to get that all worked out. Like Brian said earlier, of course, the website is infectionpodcast.com. My name is Nick Craig. @NicholasMCraig is my Twitter. Infectionpodcast.com is the website. And we'll see you next week for Infection. Have a good one, everybody.